The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines, and I'll try to remember to list the source. First, from Real Simple, we've got, they've road-tested ready-to-serve soups. They're weeknight saviors and easy on the wallet. So which store-bought soups should you slurp? We tasted more than 100 to find the best of the bunch. Let's see. Best tomato. Pacific Foods Organic Creme Fraiche Tomato Soup. This silky smooth soup, thickened with milk and creme fraiche, is comfort food at its finest. All that's missing is the grilled cheese. To buy, $6 for a 32-ounce carton at natural food stores. Best chicken noodle. Pacific Foods, again, organic chicken noodle soup. A classic cure-all that's as good as grandma's. To buy, $4.30 for a 17.6-ounce at grocery stores. Best bean. Progresso organic Southwest-style black bean soup. The beans in this hearty mix, unlike the competition, retain their shape and texture when warmed. To buy, $3 for a 14-ounce can at grocery stores. Best lentil soup. Amy's organic curried lentil soup. Split peas, lentils, and mung dal make this a vegetarian favorite. Top with a dollop of yogurt. To buy, $3.70 for 14 ounces at grocery stores. Best creamy. Wickedly prime masala butternut squash soup. Supremely satisfying, this puree has just the right touch of heat. To buy, $19.70 for 6 17-ounce boxes available on Amazon.com. So you do have to commit to a six-pack. And last, the best wild card, Campbell's slow kettle-style roasted red pepper and smoked Gouda bisque. This smoky, cheesy blend might have you going back for seconds. To buy, $3.50 for a 15.5-ounce, it's a little tub kind of thing with a lid. Available at grocery stores. From Glamour magazine, under well-being, I just want to be the best. Olympic medal hopefuls chronicle their dramatic paths to the 2018 Winter Games in Pyeongchang, South Korea this month. Get ready to cheer. Becoming an Olympian is not just about the hours spent training, though that helps. It requires drive, insane, unmatched drive. The women on these pages, all likely to compete in Pyeongchang, have that determination. For example, at age 13, snowboarder Chloe Kim was already competing like an Olympic medal contender. She placed second at the women's halfpipe qualification that year and would have gone to the Sochi Games, except the rules required athletes to be at least 15 to compete. Now 17, Kim is poised to dominate the halfpipe, her signature event. If she does, she'll be the youngest American snowboarder ever to win an Olympic medal. The pressure, she admits, is hard, but mostly I see it as positive that people see potential in me. And she adds, like a true teenager, I'm excited to make memories with my friends. I've heard the food and shopping are amazing in South Korea. Her journey to the top has required sacrifices. Kim combined her junior and senior years, graduating last May, missing things like senior prom, to focus on her training. It was hard to balance, she says. I'd come home after 3 to 5 hours of snowboarding and sit down to do my schoolwork the rest of the day. It was my parents' idea to finish early. I can't thank them enough. She still logs tons of time on the board and hits the gym 3 days a week, but she keeps it fun. The longest I've been in the gym was 2 hours. About 65% of that time I was on my phone eating Oreos, she says. Kim's plan for Pyeongchang? Keep it simple. When she was 15, she became the second best snowboarder ever after Shaun White and the first woman to land back-to-back 1080s in competition and earn a perfect score. She decided not to mess with that. Is it worth learning a new trick that I might not land when it matters most? Or could I just make everything I have look flawless? I went with flawless. The U.S. women's national hockey team says we do want to change the way the world sees women's hockey. I'm sorry. Last March, the U.S. women's national hockey team nearly missed the world championships. Ranked number one in the world, they almost boycotted the big game after more than a year of demanding fair wages to no avail. We had a vision, and the only way to see it through was to remain united, says forward Megan Duggan, 30. After tough negotiations, including one phone call that lasted 8 hours, the women struck a deal with USA Hockey. Both sides agreed to keep the details confidential, but ESPN reported the raise took each player from a small stipend to about $70,000 per player per year for the next 4 years, with performance bonuses. 10 days after negotiations ended, the team walked away with its 7th world championship. This deal transcended our sport, says Hillary Knight, 28, a forward. Women's hockey is now part of a conversation that is changing the way the world sees women. After everything these women have been through in the past year, the roster now feels like family. Being able to have 22 sisters to lean on for everything is what makes being a champion athlete on a team sport so special, says forward Brianna Decker, 26. The team especially loves the hour they spend together each week, not training. They never miss an episode of This Is Us. One of the coolest parts of this year is that we've become almost inseparable, says Knight. Now to prep for South Korea, the team skates for nearly 2 hours together every day, then hits the gym for up to 3 hours of strength training, with moves like dumbbell presses, push-ups, bridges, and box jumps. That's 35 hours a week, or more than 1,000 hours of training during the October to May season. The Olympics are just one tournament on their busy schedule. Make no mistake, these are some seriously strong women. Winning the negotiation gave us confidence on and off the ice about who we are as players, women, and leaders, says Knight. But winning a gold medal, having a tangible success to show everyone who supported our team, would mean so much to us. Next, Oksana Masters, Paralympic Nordic skier, says skiing has been therapy for me. Oksana Masters was 9 when her left leg was amputated due to radiation-induced birth defects caused by the Chernobyl nuclear disaster in her native Ukraine. The surgery came just a year and a half after her mom, Gay, adopted her and brought her to the U.S. A few years later, Masters had to say goodbye to her right leg, too. The malformations had become too pronounced to save it. I was not happy, she says. Masters turned to athletics to help her recovery, joining an adaptive rowing team after a faculty member at her school suggested it. Sports were a way for me to get comfortable with my body, she says. I learned to appreciate everything I could still do. Today, the 28-year-old doesn't just play one sport. She competes in 4 Olympic events, biathlon, cross-country skiing, winning a silver and bronze in Sochi, rowing, she won a bronze in London, and hand cycling, a 4th and 5th place in Rio. All her sports require massive upper body strength, which she has in spades. When you're using your upper body to live, she explains, you get to know how to move every muscle in a way that makes it count. Skiing was actually the last event Masters began to compete in, though she'd always wanted to play a winter sport. In 2012, I was invited to a ski event called the Hartford Ski Spectacular to learn how to sit ski for the first time. I loved it, but it was not pretty. I was not good. I didn't know how to stop, so I kept throwing myself on the ground, she says, but I didn't know when to quit. I don't know what to quit. I'm stubborn. Once I start something, I want to see how far I can go. That included getting gear made to help her master the sport. I sit in a custom-made seat with custom bindings and propel myself forward with my trunk and double poles, she says. Now she's more than ready for Pyeongchang. I'm going into this year with confidence, knowing what I can achieve. The U.S. Women's National Bobsled Team says we spend hours preparing for just 2 minutes. It takes a lot of prep for a single bobsled run, hauling the sled to the start line, setting it up on the track, and hauling it off after the run. So the women's bobsled team has time for only 2 practice races a day. Racing, says Aja Evans, 29, a brakeman, is the easiest part. About 4 times a week after practice, each athlete spends several hours at the gym, lifting or at the track sprinting. Most of that work is done solo, though. Their pilot brakeman pairings are not announced until just weeks before the games, which means the current team of nine must be ready to race with anyone. Our total training time on the ice with our partner will be 1.5 hours, says Alana Myers-Taylor, 33, a pilot. Making matters more complicated, in 2015, the governing body of the sport required teams to shave 33 pounds off of their maximum weight, which includes the 365-pound sled. We had to lean up, says Evans, who shed 10 pounds after the rule change. The team now carefully fine-tunes their food and fitness choices to retain every ounce of muscle to help push the sled. Myers-Taylor aims to eat 1,700 calories a day, which may seem low for a pro athlete, but it's my sweet spot, she says. Jamie Grubel, poser, 34, a pilot, eats 2,000 to 3,000 calories a day. Most women on the team have very different bodies, so everyone is always gaining or losing to meet in the middle and be within weight range of any partner. Talk about getting to know your teammates. For more on the 100-plus female athletes competing this year, visit TeamUSA.org. From Glamour, the power of radical empathy. Faced with anti-Muslim bigotry, model Halima Aden could have gotten angry. She found a better way forward. This is from a speech she gave at Glamour's Women of the Year Summit. When I was in high school in Minnesota, one of my best friends said we couldn't be friends anymore because her mother feared I'd recruit her into ISIS. I have as much to do with ISIS as any of you do, but I was born in a refugee camp in Kenya before my family moved to Minnesota when I was 6, and I wear the headscarf. At first, I was like, you're kidding, right? It made me want to cut myself off from everybody who doesn't share my race and culture. But my mother told me, sometimes people don't understand you. You have to show them who you are, and you'll have to understand their stories, too. To understand someone else's story is empathy, and my mother taught me living a rich life requires radical empathy. I can practice radical empathy because the empathy I've received has overwhelmed the bigotry, from aid workers at the refugee camp to teachers who helped me, to pageant officials who let me compete for Miss Minnesota USA wearing my hijab and burkini and launch a modeling career. When you swap anger for empathy, you can begin to understand my mom's friend. She's seeing Muslims portrayed as terrorists on the news. Meanwhile, Muslims haven't found much of a voice in this country. I see the path forward. Show them who I am. Seek out people different from you. You might get hurt, but do it anyway. And if that girl and her mom are watching now, I hope they'll understand the only radical thing about me is my empathy. From Real Simple, regarding relating, 5 skills it's never too late to learn. 1, how to swim. Swimming's an essential skill, but millions of adults don't know how to do it. That's because the most important part of learning how to swim is learning to feel safe and comfortable in deep water. Most traditional swim lessons are geared toward kids who don't feel the fear that adults do and can jump right into the mechanics of how to move their arms and legs to do the different strokes. Adults who worry they'll drown can't start learning strokes until they first learn not to panic. Ask the instructor, do you teach that comfort in the water comes first? If he or she can't answer that question, chances are it's not a good fit. 2. How to code. I love computers, but everyone discouraged me from using them when I was growing up because I'm female. When I was 38, I decided I'd learn to code. Through online class and an in-person boot camp, I've expanded my understanding of the world and myself. I love the language and rules of HTML and CSS. They quickly let me create something that's often very beautiful. To learn, start online and get a taste of the tech community by looking for gatherings on meetup.com. Let yourself explore so you can discover who you are now rather than believe you will always be the same as you were. Next, how to turn stress into joy. The ability to find joy in your daily life is highly teachable. Here's an easy way to practice during a tense moment. First, secretly identify someone around you. It can be anyone, your challenging coworker, the driver who just cut you off in traffic, the person you're serving a meal to at the local shelter. Then take in one slow breath One slow, deep breath, giving full attention to the feeling in either your nose or your belly, and maintain that focus as you slowly exhale. As you exhale, think, I wish for this person to be happy. Sincere goodwill is picked up unconsciously by others and creates trust that leads to more positive interactions. And the fourth thing, I learned how to dance. I learned to dance a lot later than my peers. Most of them started as children and were able to get great technique and incredible fundamentals that way. I went to an arts high school for theater. One day in rehearsal, I watched a dance number. I saw my classmates in the dark theater telling such a beautiful story without moving their mouths. I thought, I want to do that. If you want to learn to dance, even just socially, surround yourself with other people who are good at it and whom you enjoy being with. It's all about the environment and the vibes. Find a studio where you like the people and they make you feel comfortable. Watch them closely. I believe that observing is just as effective as practicing. It's the best way to pick up an impressive move or two. And last, how to tell a joke. There are so many people who have a great sense of humor, who don't think they have the confidence to make people laugh. But telling a joke is a great icebreaker. The one thing to keep in mind as you're getting started is that you don't have to tell your own joke. As long as you give credit where it's due, you know what Margaret Cho says, right? There's nothing wrong with sharing someone else's joke in your own funny way. Joke telling is a kind of public speaking. Build up your confidence by practicing on your coworkers, friends, or family. It's a strange experience to suddenly be the center of attention, but people love to laugh, and the stuff that makes you laugh tells people who you are. From Glamour magazine, unedited personal takes on popular culture, the future of pop music is female. Only one woman of 10 nominees is up for top honors, or record and album of the year at this month's Grammy Awards. Hello. Here are four young female acts to start paying attention to, stat. First, she makes her own rules. We knew English singer-songwriter Dua Lipa, 22, was changing the game when she dropped her smash New Rules. Sample lyric, one, don't pick up the phone. You know he's only calling because he's drunk and alone. It's a breakup anthem, yes, but the video shows how women can literally walk on water with support from their friends. This is the side of the story that rings true to me, says Lipa, who just kicked off her global tour in Montreal. My friends have always been my family. I wanted that video to be a full 360-degree experience of girls helping each other. No boys, no problem. Then she wades into the dark side. Some songwriters write exclusively from their own point of view. Billie Eilish likes to look outside her own experiences. I've written songs from the perspective of someone I've hurt, which is pretty eye-opening, says Eilish, 16, who turned down prestigious opening gigs to embark on her own global tour last month. I like to step out of myself and become someone else for a second, like a psychopath. She's not kidding. On the viral single Bellyache, she sings sweetly, where's my mind? Maybe it's in the gutter, where I left my lover. Admirers beware. Everything about Eilish was homeschooled in Los Angeles is meant to challenge expectations. I just like to be remembered, she says. I dress so people will look up from their phones. I want to be judged, whether it's a good thought or a bad thought. I want people to have me on their mind. They just keep getting better. You might know Chloex Halle as Beyoncé's protege. After discovering their YouTube channel, Bey famously signed the Atlanta duo to her Parkwood Entertainment label in 2015. But with a debut album slated for early 2018, the sisters are ready for the big leagues. We are in that weird transition stage from teenagers to young adults, says Chloe Bailey, 19. When you're writing messages in our songs, it's so other people can hear them. But we're also writing to remind ourselves of our self-worth. And if the razor-sharp beats and lyrics from standouts like Everywhere, I hustled my way up, they sing in unison, I did it my way up, are any indication, that confidence and competence was hard won. Our first couple of songs were really bad, says Halle Bailey, 17. One big thing we've learned from Beyoncé is how to go back on songs over and over again. There's always something that can get better. And last, refuses to get boxed in. When hit whisperer Bebe Rexha, she wrote Eminem and Rihanna's The Monster, was asked to work with Florida Georgia Line, she nearly said no. There's stigma behind country, admits the Brooklyn native, who has collaborated with G-Eazy and Selena Gomez. But then he wrote this incredible record. It was so unexpected how we were able to mix sounds. With the 10-gallon smash behind her, Meant to Be, has more than 84 million YouTube views. Rexha, 28, is on to making new music in 2018. It's called Expectations, she says, of the project. It's about growing up in a conservative household, moving to L.A., and being thrown into the business on my own. Expect exceeded expectations. And how about a couple of easy dinners? Slow cooker short ribs with rosemary potatoes. This is a 15-minute active time. Total time, 5 hours, 15 minutes. Serves 4. You need a half cup low-sodium beef broth, 3 tablespoons tomato paste, 1 tablespoon chopped fresh parsley stems, about 10 stems, plus leaves for garnish, 2 tablespoons plus 1 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt, divided, 1 teaspoon black pepper, plus more for serving, 2-pound bone-in beef short ribs, 1 12-ounce package frozen pearl onions, 3 medium carrots chopped, 4 cloves of garlic smashed and peeled, divided, 1 1/2 pounds baby Yukon gold potatoes, and 2 rosemary sprigs. Stir together broth, tomato paste, parsley stems, 1 teaspoon of salt, and pepper in a 6-quart slow cooker. Add short ribs, onions, carrots, and 2 cloves garlic. Nest the ribs into the vegetables. Cover and cook on high until meat is very tender, 5 to 6 hours. Reduce to warm and remove lid. Meanwhile, place potatoes, rosemary, remaining 2 cloves garlic, and 2 tablespoons salt in a stock pot. Add water to cover. Bring to a boil over high. Reduce heat to medium-low and simmer until potatoes are very tender, about 15 minutes. Remove from heat, remove rosemary and garlic, then drain. Reserving cooking liquid, remove short ribs and vegetables from slow cooker. Skim fat from the liquid, then transfer to a blender, add remaining 1/4 teaspoon salt. With centerpiece of blender lid removed, secure lid on blender, place a clean dish towel over the lid opening, puree on medium-high till smooth. Serve potatoes and short ribs with vegetables and sauce. Garnish with parsley leaves and pepper. What about chicken piccata with mushrooms and Brussels sprouts? Active time, 20 minutes. Total time, 30. Serves 4. 8-ounce uncooked orzo. 4 5-ounce chicken breast cutlets. 1 teaspoon kosher salt, divided. 1 teaspoon black pepper, divided. 4 tablespoons unsalted butter, divided. 8-ounce fresh crimini mushrooms, sliced. 8-ounce fresh Brussels sprouts, quartered. 1 cup unsalted chicken stock, 2 tablespoons fresh lemon juice, that would be from 1 lemon, 1 tablespoon capers drained and rinsed, and 2 tablespoons chopped fresh oregano. Cook orzo according to the package directions. Meanwhile, season chicken with 1/2 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Heat 1 tablespoon of the butter in a large non-stick skillet over medium-high. Add chicken and cook till golden and cooked through about 4 minutes per side. Reserving drippings in the skillet, transfer chicken to a plate and loosely cover with foil. Return skillet to medium-high, add remaining 3 tablespoons butter and stir until melted. Add mushrooms and Brussels sprouts. Cook without stirring until tender, about 5 minutes. Add stock, lemon juice, capers, and remaining 1/2 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Bring to a simmer and cook 1 minute. Serve chicken sliced over orzo and vegetables, spoon sauce over the top, and garnish with oregano. Smoked trout salad with creamy dill dressing. Active time is 15 minutes, total time 45, serves 4. You need 2 medium golden or red beets, peeled and halved, 1 ounce French bread torn into small pieces, about a cup, 1 1/2 teaspoons grated lemon zest, 2 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil, divided, 1 teaspoon kosher salt, divided, 1 teaspoon black pepper, divided, 1/2 cup sour cream, 2 tablespoons chopped fresh dill plus more for garnish, 1 tablespoon apple cider vinegar, 1 tablespoon prepared horseradish, 5-ounce mixed baby greens, 8-ounce smoked trout broken into small pieces. Preheat oven to 450. Wrap beet halves in a double layer of aluminum foil and roast on a baking sheet until tender 25 to 30 minutes. Remove from foil and let it stand until cool enough to handle, then cut into wedges. Meanwhile, toss together bread, lemon zest, 1 tablespoon oil, and 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper on a rimmed baking sheet. Spread in a single layer. Bake until lightly golden, about 5 minutes. Remove from oven, set aside. Whisk together sour cream, dill, 2 tablespoons water, vinegar, horseradish, and remaining 1 tablespoon oil and 3/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper in a small bowl. Arrange greens, trout, and sliced beets on a large platter. Drizzle with a 1/2 cup dressing. Garnish with additional chopped dill and serve with remaining dressing. And our last easy dinner, open-faced veggie sandwiches, roasted veggie sandwiches. Active time 25 minutes and total time 25 minutes. Serves 4. You need nonstick cooking spray, 2 large carrots thinly sliced, 1 small fennel bulb thinly sliced, fronds reserved for garnish, 1 large red bell pepper thinly sliced, 1 small head cauliflower, florets thinly sliced, 7 tablespoons olive oil divided, 1 teaspoon kosher salt divided, 3/4 teaspoon black pepper divided, 4 tablespoons red wine vinegar, 1 French bread loaf cut in 1/2 lengthwise, 8 slices provolone cheese, and 5 ounces baby arugula. Preheat broiler to high with oven rack 4 inches from heat. Lightly coat a large rimmed baking sheet with cooking spray. Arrange carrots, fennel, bell pepper, and cauliflower in a single layer on the baking sheet. Drizzle with 1 tablespoon oil. Season with 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Broil, stirring once halfway through until lightly charred, 8 to 10 minutes. Meanwhile, whisk together vinegar and remaining 6 tablespoons of oil, 3/4 teaspoon salt, and 1/2 teaspoon pepper in a small bowl, set aside. Remove vegetables from the oven, set aside. Scoop out some crumb from the bread halves to create 2 shells. Place shells on a clean rimmed baking sheet. Broil until golden, about 1 minute. Drizzle 2 tablespoons dressing over toasted bread shells. Top with roasted vegetables, then drizzle with additional 2 tablespoons dressing. Top with cheese. Broil until cheese is melted, about 1 minute. Cut sandwiches into pieces. Top with fennel fronds. Toss arugula with the remaining dressing. Serve with sandwiches. And a final thought, there are better things ahead than any we leave behind. That was C.S. Lewis in a letter to Mary Willis Shelburne. We've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138.